On this episode of the Cooligans, man, we talk about Pochettino. I don't know if you heard. We've been talking about it a lot. We break it down. Plus, we talk a little bit about that last game.
Yes, the U.S. against New Zealand, that last game. Yeah, brutal. We're also going to be joined by Nicole Baxter. She recently played for Gotham FC.
Yes.
She is retired, but now she is working for EA Sports, and we're going to talk about
She's in the game.
EAFC 25 coming soon, so we'll talk all about it, all this and more today on the Cooligans. Viejitos have access to Instagram Live.
Wow. You gotta... I've heard of butt dials. I've never heard of a booty live.
Booty live is definitely is the new term because Shannon Sharp, big unk.
Yeah, dude.
Let everybody know.
Hey, he still got it.
He still got it.
It has become about a minute and a half, but he still got it. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, this. I didn't come up with the joke, but I had seen the tweets. You know, they recorded a special episode of Nightcap, but it was actually called Nightclap.
Oh, right? Let's go Nightclap.
Because that was one of the most ridiculous things on the internet I think I've ever just been. We've been on the internet for a couple of years now.
Dude, I did not think Shannon Sharp would ever do ASMR. You know? He doesn't come across as an ASMR guy. And I never thought it'd be a ASMR X OnlyFans crossover.
On 9/11?
Damn. Bro,
that's the other thing.
Yo.
Never forget. Now I'm never going to forget this.
Homie said, hey. I'm about to make these towers go up and then down.
Bro. Nah, bro.
I'm about to wear your towers as earrings. You feel me?
That was one of the most... This should be a warning to just everybody.
Yeah.
It's also very difficult to accidentally go live on Instagram.
You got
to
hit a lot of buttons. There's so many... Mid-act.
So many steps. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but this is just...
You ever seen the meme of like when water gets on a phone and it like buys a new...
Yeah.
Maybe some liquid on the phone.
Some sort of fluid.
You guys decide what fluid it is.
I don't know why.
You know?
But literally one of the craziest things. Admittedly, he's like, I don't know technology. I don't understand. I don't understand computers and all this other stuff. And it's like, it couldn't have been any more clear.
Imagine having to be the person that explained to him that the world heard him.
My man knows sheets. He don't know spreadsheets, though. No. Right?
Well, spread he does.
One of the most... Okay, I mean, look, it's just a warning to definitely be careful with what you do with your phone
and
where it is.
You got to move your phone away from you during the act.
You
don't want a toe or leg or something even worse. Tapping something, you know?
Just a while. Also, it could also be a sign of like, hey, this is how you need to get attention on the internet. This is how you market a podcast.
Do you want
to
buy ads or do you want to be the ad? You know?
It's getting crazy out there.
Bro.
All right? I did not expect to hear... A 56-year-old man grunting like that. I'm just trying to enjoy my wholesome, godly internet.
Yes.
And then this is what pops up.
You know, I was just, I was on Bible.com.
As I do every morning.
Right.
To see the latest scripture.
Yeah. What's the update?
From my favorite. From my favorite, you know, religious influencers.
Oh, I don't know. The world's most successful book.
Okay. Number one New York Times bestseller. Week after week.
All right. That's actually the sound. Shannon Sharp is the sound of me reading, like, oh. Look at this new scripture.
So,
what a relief.
A wild day, my man. Stole a lot of attention from a lot of grieving people.
Yeah, well, look, guys. All right. Well, we got podcast numbers to raise. So, wait for our lives to drop.
Gonna be crazy.
You know? It's gonna be the sound of me eating a very wet sandwich.
Okay. Yeah. Deli's, you better be careful. You know, better watch
be
out.
Saying stuff like, oh, it's so moist. Oh, it's all over my hand.
All right. That was just a sneak peek.
Yeah, I thought it was going to last much longer, but I ate it too quick. And now we've both finished.
See, this is good stuff.
This is great. A big wet sandwich.
big wet sandwich. It's a new show here on Yahoo Sports. Everybody,
should we be pitching more content to Yahoo new podcast? Big wet sandwich.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody.
Yeah, this is a soccer show, folks.
It says we'll get to the footy in a little bit. Yeah, okay.
You buckle your seatbelts, folks. Right. In fact, get some hand sanitizer.
Everybody, you better be listening to this podcast in a hazmat suit.
100%, bro.
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We're here. It's an exciting show because we have an incredible guest as well.
Yeah.
Currently working at EA Sports, working for EAFC. Nicole Baxter.
Crazy.
You may remember the name from Gotham FC or even Sky Blue FC. Nicole Baxter will be joining us in just a little
bit. We're going to get the ins and outs of EAFC.
Exactly. And some good WOSO chat.
She does not hold back.
She does not hold back.
Okay? Yo, you got some.
I forgot to tell her during the interview, but like I was like, oh, we try not to swear too much. And it's like Carter's has to edit quite a few bleeps in there.
She went in
a little bit. We should have said something.
We didn't prep. It's not my job, I don't think. I'm usually the one who's like, let it fly. And then Carter's like, you've made a lot more work for me.
So we're excited about today's show. But we have to on a more somber note, the USMNT played another game, their second game of this international break. Mm-hmm. They played against New Zealand. A game where I saw morning footy, y'all were like, oh, it's probably gonna be 6-7-0, but the result is not the most important thing.
Yeah, you think we were the only ones?
the presumption was.
Doesn't it feel like this whole window was almost like a waste? It's like, bro, come on. This was the last week of senior year in high school.
This is why but this has been a kind of a talking point. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode, but about that this September international break. It's a weird time because the European leagues have already started. Players,
you think it's a waste? Because I think Brazil would agree with you. we should have never done this, bro.
Not necessarily a waste, but it's just a weird window because
this league's just started.
And they're usually in the third or fourth week, and then. Then people had already played in the Euros and Copa America and all these, they're tired, they're exhausted, and then they're back at their clubs, and then now they're back in the, and CONMEBOL is World Cup qualifier, so the games are super important.
Yeah. And I don't even think about this. Most people, like if you're playing in Europe and you're flying to your home country, we've traveled around Europe. That's like a 2-hour flight.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an easy commute.
If you are South American, if you're Lucho Diaz, mm-hmm. and you've got to go from Manchester to Colombia, that's about 400-hour flight.
Okay. Give or take. I mean,
depends on the plane, I think. Maybe the one I took. No, but seriously, what is that? About 20-hour flight?
It has to be. I don't think it's 20 because that would. I think it has to be somewhere. I mean, we could just look it up, but
yeah,
it has to be somewhere. But at least like 16 hours. Yeah.
That's crazy on the body. And now you're expecting him to come back and perform at a high level, or even get to Colombia's national team and play at a high level. That's just one example. Brazil, Argentina. Those are two more examples. What I'm saying is, if you're playing in Europe and you're of the South American qualifiers, bro, they're brutal.
Without a doubt.
Pitches are crazy. You're getting two-footed. There's a Bolivian on your back. It's a wild time.
We're not even playing Bolivia.
Where did this guy come from?
How did this happen? Okay.
11, but Manchester, so that adds maybe another hour.
Okay. Yeah,
12 hours. Still crazy when you've got guys going to, playing for Latvian national team. And it took 30 minutes. You sit next to a goat on the airplane.
So, but USMNT, so they end up playing New Zealand, 1-1 draw, and a game where, oh boy.
It feels pointless, and I'm only saying what it looks like most of the players were thinking, because they had zero energy for this game.
They looked better than against Canada.
I hope so. It's New Zealand, bro.
the bar is pretty low.
It should not be that low.
So look, the fact that
there still wasn't enough energy. I think the one positive is Marlon Fossey.
I thought he was great.
My man was. Hey, bro, I was not familiar with your game, my guy.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Where does he play?
Standard Liège.
Okay. Yeah, I thought he was really good, and brought a different kind of look to that right back position.
Speaking of look, I haven't seen very many people whose skin tone and hair are the exact same Pantone color code.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about? Now, you don't see it in the photo, but did you see his, I think he got more of a tan. His beard and skin
are like
the exact same color. I was like, how he got a hairy chin, you know?
It's kind of like sometimes Swedish people that have blonde beard.
People who do it
blonde
too.
Blonde beards and stuff like that. It's like it matches, it's like weirdly camouflaging their face.
You know, like little kids who are blonde whose hair matches their skin, you know what they call them?
I don't.
Toeheads.
Toeheads.
Isn't that
hilarious? I've never heard that before in my life.
I laugh at this in my head so much. A toehead, bro.
Okay. All right. Well, we learn something every day.
It looks like a big old toe.
Well, the outside of toeheads, whatever. overall, I thought first of all, I am not too stressed about the result.
Are you stressed by individual performances?
Not really. I thought for the most part, outside of, look, that ridiculous goal doesn't go in. I think the whole narrative is very different.
Also, Ricardo Pepi's goal absolutely should have counted.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. That goal should have counted.
Marlon Fossey should have gotten an assist. They should have had that. There's no reason why it didn't. But can you give me two positives from this game?
I thought Aiden Morris played really well. I thought, and seeing Fossey, I thought he was really good. I was just like very surprised.
I thought Aiden Morris played well. I wouldn't say really well. I thought he played well.
I think
there were some moments.
He's
where
the highest rated player. Him and Fossey.
Can we really trust this?
He did okay.
First of all, here's a piece of evidence where you shouldn't trust it. It doesn't agree with what I'm saying. So should we really trust it? No, but I think Aiden Morris had, like, I would say 90%. Maybe that's a little too high. 70% of what he did out there impressed me.
Okay.
The other 30, I was like, well, all right, there's some room to grow here. You know, I felt like sometimes he got caught too slowly making a decision.
Okay, I mean,
where I'm like, all right, because when I look at Aiden Morris, I think to myself, one, I love this guy. I think he's an incredible player. I think he will be a great midfielder for the U.S. and his national team. But right now, what he has to try to do is be better than the best midfielder we have. And I don't necessarily think that this window showed that he's better. What he showed is he continued being part of the conversation.
Yeah, this lineup in itself is clearly not the best available players.
Bro, who starts 3-9s?
Three nines? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting
crazy.
Choice.
Everyone's in the middle. Like, yo, we're all doing the same job here, man.
But a lot of people at least wanted two strikers. That was the thing that people wanted to see, to have Pepi and Balogun on at the same
God,
time.
My guy, Miggy Varis, was like, they want two? I'm going to give them three. Okay. I'm going to show them.
I'm thinking bigger.
thinking out the box, but I'm thinking about putting too many people in the box.
it wasn't, for the most part, they dominated possession, which we sort of expected. It's just like this didn't even feel like a legitimate lineup. It was just like a very experimental.
Also, with the news, the Pochettino news dropping just before it,
yeah,
you were like, all right, can we get this done with then? And can he take over in the second half at least?
I kind of just wanted to see good decisions being made by the player. I thought Ricardo Pepi, you know, scoring that goal, which I think still should have counted, but it was just a great. The poison and the confidence in that moment and to put that shot away when he probably could have passed it off and for a tap in, but it was a great goal.
He's like, no, man, I need
yeah, I need this. I need this a little bit more than you. Sis ain't really doing it for me right now.
Sorry, all other eight strikers on the pitch right now. I really need this.
So I saw a few good decisions. Yes, would I have liked to see a more dominant performance? Of course.
Would you have even been impressed with a 2-0 win? Let's say the wacky goal doesn't go in, Pepe's goal counts. Would that really have made you think, like, we're back on track, maybe?
No, it wouldn't. It's not about it being impressed. It was just the kind of similar. I'm about to play Christian Pulisic's post-game comments. And just the defeated, the... Hey.
Any fans of ours are also fans of emo music. Stick around for these personal.
Just the I got to play with these dudes again. You know what I mean? What I sort of felt. That's kind of, I was just like, this isn't, you're not, it's not giving. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's giving. That's all. You weren't y'all weren't serving. Y'all weren't giving. Yeah. Y'all weren't eating. Okay. No. All right. And Shannon Sharp was doing all those things. Okay. Yeah.
We heard it.
We heard it.
And also, we didn't want to hear it. You know? I feel like that's important to know.
So here, look, let's listen to a little bit of Christian Pulisic after the game.
I think just hopefully a culture that is willing to fight, that is willing to take risks, you know, win. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to change, and just in the mentality and the culture of the group. I think we have the quality, but I know hopefully that that's the first thing that he's gonna want to change.
This is the sound, the energy, and the tone of a man who's already hired a divorce lawyer. And is at his wife's birthday party and has been asked to give a speech. He's like, I don't know, man.
To me, the saddest moment is because obviously the question is basically what do you think Pochettino is going to change? And then the one that he says culture and all this stuff, but then he goes,
winning?
Win? I'm like, what?
I don't know, man. Kick the ball in the direction of the goal we need to score on.
It's like, our homie Melissa Ortiz is asking this question. He's just like, why are you even asking me this?
Bro, win. You know.
It's just such a...
He's like, I don't want to play with none of these rascal players, bro.
And this is a thing that has been sort of discussed with you. It's the strange part to me is that he's talking about the culture of the team, but then he was also being like, yo, yeah, we got to bring Greg back and all this other stuff.
Nah, you could do both. You were presented with new evidence.
Okay.
You could change your mind. It's like an equation. If you suddenly draw parentheses around something else, the answer changes. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but what is it about that?
Did anyone think I would make any math joke, an algebra joke on this show?
It's the culture of the team. It seemed, especially leading into the World Cup, it felt like we were in a good place with as far as culture.
We were. Post-World Cup, if the, you know, Reina family / you know, Berhalter drama doesn't happen, mm-hmm. if at the end of the World Cup we say, you know what, we had a good World Cup, but we think U.S. soccer thinks we need a new manager to take us to the next level, none of those guys jump on and say, nah, man, that's our guy. We think he can carry us. They're defending someone who in their eyes was ousted for the wrong reasons and is now fighting an investigation. That's the only reason those guys said that, because you got to back your guy.
Okay.
And remember, he did a good job taking these children and ushering them into manhood as far as their playing career is concerned.
Sure.
You know, I think Shannon Sharp did a better job of that online. honestly, he took a bunch of kids in the wake of us missing a World Cup. He made sure that they all started playing, you know, together and developing themselves as a team, as a unit. That's why you heard all the brotherhood stuff. It's like, yo, we're here to do this for the nation. We're going to get the nation back in the World Cup. They did that. He was the right guy at that moment. You can't say he wasn't. Was there a better guy? Maybe. But he did a good job of getting us to the World Cup. But hold on. Now, all right, yo, you did your thing. We saw what you did in Copa America. This isn't good enough. Now we need someone else. Pochettino walks in. That's a better coach. Even Berhalter would be like, all right.
The one thing I would say, or just kind of redirect the conversation a little bit, is culture of teams. The standard is set by coaches for sure. Like and what they want to implement, but without a doubt, like I want to hear some accountability about the culture of the team. Meaning, I don't know how much he wants to divulge about, like, what, you know, what the culture of the team is like, or what his responsibility is. He is the captain of the team. There's a lot of responsibility, obviously, him, Tyler Adams, or whatever. But there's I look at the players themselves. How are you setting the standard for the culture? How are you, Christian Pulisic specifically, holding your teammates accountable? Because we hear, you know, Tim Ream was talking to, I think, Taylor Twellman or somebody. I forgot where the interview was. But Tim Ream was commenting about how that he felt some of the national team players didn't really take pride in being a part of that program as much as maybe he did, or as much as what the standard should be of, like, how significant it is to even get an opportunity to represent your country. So I'm just looking at who are the players that are going to step up to to maintain the culture and pass the culture down from generation to generation. Because I don't see that as much from the players themselves.
Yeah, I get that. And I think we had that in spades before, right? There was right. so many other players that were going to do that. I don't think Christian Pulisic, and I don't know this for a fact, but I don't see in him the type of guy that's going to be like, walk into the locker room, grab somebody's shirt and be like, give me more out there, you know? I think he's the type of guy, like even I think Charlie said, he's like, reminds him more of Landon Donovan, which is like, quiet leader, tells you on his face he's not happy, but he goes out and shows you with what he's doing. His actions speak louder than his words. Where maybe you have someone like an Oguchi Onyebu who he walk up to him and be like, you got any more? You're like, you're going to get all of it. I don't know who told you.
You don't got
to
tell me twice.
Who upset you? Can I go fight them? You
know? I'm honestly surprised you told me once. I didn't want it to get to this point.
Bro, you know what? I quit, bro. I'm going to go become an accountant, and it's all because of you. We don't have that on this team. We don't have them goons like we had before. And I know the term goons is taking on a new definition, but you get me. Like, we don't have that type to walk up to someone and be like, nah, man, what you're doing is unacceptable out there. I know it feels to me, I don't know for a fact, but it feels to me, I'd put my money on Christian Pulisic is not that guy. This is the way he does that.
Right.
He shows you, and I think Tim Ream did it as well. He was like, man, you know, we need a change of culture in a way. Saying that to the media is essentially, you know, blowing up the spot of your players, is putting your players on the spot. And he's kind of doing the same thing. And in a way where I'm like, okay, I kind of side with the way he's doing it because maybe he's not that guy, you know? Yeah. I wish Christian Pulisic had a little bit more riz, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, like we saw him on The Tonight Show and I'm like, it looks like he's pained having to do this, you know? Honestly, give me and Christian 2 weeks with this guy. I mean that. No, I really mean that.
Like as like a personality coach?
Yes, bro. Bro, he will walk out of there fully developed. He will go from a U8 as he is right now in the personality game to a full-blown professional, world-class Ballon d'Or of personality.
Cooligans Academy, okay? Starlet, bro, Christian Pulisic. Yeah.
Bro, I'm telling you, I honestly think 2 weeks with Christian Pulisic would completely change the way at least he approaches media.
All right.
But I don't think it's going to change the way he approaches the other players.
Sure.
I agree with you. There's some type of culture missing. I get the accountability issue. But at some point, Christian's like, bro, the mouse is away, the cat's away, the mice will play.
Right, right.
So, and that's kind of what's happening. And he's like, this is unacceptable. And I kind of like that.
And so I think, look, the introduction of Pochettino, not only because of, his resume and the type of coach he is, but I think one of the things that is also a really huge deal is Pochettino's salary. So we found out that he's going to be paying $6 million annually, which is
it's from Ken Griffin.
Yeah, which is interesting. So there is a...
it's not just him. Apparently, there's a bunch of other ones, but I think he's the biggest
name.
He's
the main one. So it's obviously U.S. Soccer is paying a part of his salary, but then there's also a benefactor.
A couple benefactors.
Okay,
AKA
maybe Sugar Daddy, Zaddy's going to be like, hey, I just want you to look cute today.
Yeah,
that's
all. Yeah. Hey, why don't you go get your nails done?
Okay. You can't just be out here looking disheveled.
I can't be seen with you looking like this. Cruddy nails.
So it's an interesting thing because I don't know if this has been, is this a common thing? Has this been done?
Jesse Marsh, remember the three MLS coaches?
Yeah. MLS is involved in, he's the Major League Soccer coach of Canada Federation.
Coach of the national team, Canadian national team.
So it's an interesting thing. I don't know. So I was looking up Ken Griffin. He's like a hedge fund.
$59 billion in assets.
Okay. I mean, and all you can get was $6 million. Like, Jesus.
I know, bro. But you don't want to hear the interesting part? So Chelsea owes him a grip of money.
Uh-huh.
A lot more than $6 million. That $6 million is how much of it we're paying.
Okay.
So he finally got an agreement to walk away from Chelsea. They've terminated his contract. He's gotten that exit
agreement,
right?
Yeah,
the exit agreement. U.S. Soccer is covering $6 million of it per year.
Mm.
So in other words, $12 million. U.S. Soccer has agreed to pay $12 million of that. So he's just getting his Chelsea money. He's not getting his Chelsea money plus the U.S. money. Do you get what I'm saying?
So
Chelsea's paying him $12 million less.
Oh, okay.
And U.S. Soccer is covering the other $12 million. That was the agreement. If you let him go now, we'll cover, it's like a loan fee.
Yeah.
We'll cover 10% of his salary, you know? We'll cover this much. U.S. Soccer, I'm not saying the number's 10%, I was using that as an example.
Yeah.
U.S. Soccer has agreed to cover $12 million of the money that he's still owed.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
It's pretty genius.
Okay. Right, it worked out then.
So it's like, all right, you get your exit, but you have to coach the U.S. for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, look, let me just call all kangaroo real quick.
Yeah.
We're good. We got it.
Kenny G. My guy. Are you jazzy right now?
So, but the fact that that much money is being spent on a coach and, I mean, speaking of changing the culture, I mean, now it's at a point. Obviously, people have to, if you're getting paid, you got a job to do. But then if you're also getting paid $6 million a year,
you better be doing
hold some players accountable. Uh-huh. Okay, name a couple team captains.
We need to see some W's on this. All right, damn board, bro.
Give him a hall monitor sash so he can tell the other players
exactly
to do what they got to do.
You pick the goon. And I mean that in the old way. Why is Shannon Sharp calling me? I want to give you my theory, okay? I'm a little worried. Because I think we would both agree having Mauricio Pochettino now means the next manager has to be of that category, right? Mm-hmm. Of that ilk, from that tier, the S tier of manager, right? Does this feel a little bit like when Everton went out and got Rafa Benitez and Carlo Ancelotti?
I mean, yeah, two equal names.
But massive, yeah, massive but names big names, yes, like Everton. And we all thought like, oh, that's Everton taking that step up. And as you can see, they and Sean Dyche in last place. They did not take that step up. Are you a little worried that it's like we're just flirting with this tier of manager, that this isn't where we are yet?
I would say that what needs to happen. Well, initially, my first concern was like, is the USMNT project attractive enough for him to come here and also stay?
We found out they had multiple meetings with Klopp. They had not multiple meetings. They reached out to Zidane and Pep and Blaine's
right,
like that.
Right.
They didn't get a bunch of no's. They got a bunch of yeses.
Yeah,
we don't know who, but
I do think that that Pochettino will have can pretty much coach any club he wants and any country he wants.
Yeah, he was in the running for the Manchester United job, supposedly.
Exactly. So, I mean, for the most part, he has a lot of opportunities. Will he? Is the project and the institution in itself going to be exciting enough and where he gets, you know, the resources that he needs to develop this team? And obviously, he's going to be there for the World Cup, hosting the World Cup and you know, being one of the host nation. He's going to get to experience that, and I'm sure that he wants that, right? So, but overall, that was initially my fear of like that he would just leave. So I think what's going to happen is he is going to set a standard for the federation, and I hope it's positive, and I hope, you know, yes, we want victories, but nothing is going to sort of change the face of the U.S. men's national team unless there's some success at that World Cup. That is going to be the barometer. That is what's going to take the country and make the coaching position for this country one of the most high profile. If it goes well.
What do you consider a success at the World Cup? Semifinal?
Yeah.
Not even quarterfinal?
No. I think a semifinal is the... I think a quarterfinal is like, for the fans.
That's a feel-good moment.
Feel-good
moment
feels great.
That's the furthest we've ever been.
Yeah. But we've been to a quarterfinal. Getting to a semifinal is a clear step up and a step forward.
That is a proud moment for any nation.
Without
Never mind someone at the level where the U.S. is right now.
Uh-huh. If that can happen, that I think takes the coaching position of the U.S. men's national team head coach from where it is now to the S tier that you're sort of talking about.
Right.
Without a doubt. If we can get to be the one of the
I don't disagree.
Last four, that changes, I think, how U.S. soccer is viewed in the entire world.
That'd be wild.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's chat with Nicole Baxter because there's a really, really dope convo about women's soccer, EAFC, which is coming out in a couple of weeks. And
find out what the NWSL used to be like, bro.
Bro, it is
They've
absolutely.
Come a long way.
So here it is. Here's our convo with Nicole Baxter.
Come on, just the exuberance of our guests. I don't think that's
a word.
I actually don't think that's a word.
I hope it's a nice word because I have no clue what that means.
It means great. I now define
We're
it.
We're going to have to fact check that.
Are you VAR?
Your energy level also just went from like 50 to like 150.
Yeah, we started.
It's like, go.
Before this, I was like, hello, how are you?
Now I'm like, what? Absolutely thrilled to have our guest in studio. This time, you know, last time I spoke to her, this was in Cary, North Carolina.
And the time I spoke to her was, we were what? At No One Home, right? When you went with Darian.
No, I've never been to No One Home. So you're thinking of a different blonde.
Where did we meet? There's so many blonde. Actually,
it might have been the EA Sports event.
It was the EA Sports. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yo, some lady pretended to be you. And I was like, there's nothing alluring about you.
Nicole, you got your social security card on you?
Yeah.
That thing is missing. No, but I spoke to her in Cary, North Carolina. And honestly, we have crossed paths in the past. But the fact that when we got to sit down, I was just like, we only spoke for maybe 10 minutes. And I was like, she has to be on the show. She is too cool,
wow,
too funny.
Yeah.
I'm finally excited to have her in studio. Please, big round of applause for Nicole Baxter, everybody.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
I can't hear
yeah, it's weird. We've ran around the same people for quite a while. So I think when I like met you at the EA Sports event, I just said hi, like I already knew you.
Well, you did.
And it was kind of the same with you, or like, I feel like I've just known you.
You
guys.
Put pressure on me as if I had just spoken to you 10 minutes
You're
earlier.
Like, who the hell is this girl?
Very alluring.
I was talking to our producer Carter earlier, and I was saying that sometimes I'm genuinely shocked. Like, you played in NWSL for Sky Blue and Gotham FC, and
Gotham FC.
And a lot of times when we bump into players, I'm shocked that they know who we are.
That's your imposter syndrome.
100%. Yeah. So, because this is like, you are a player at Gotham. You're not listening or checking out soccer podcasts.
I have zero imposter syndrome. I'm like, of course you know who I am. I know who you are. You know who I am. Okay.
You know, actually, you guys, didn't you do a Gotham runway one time?
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we
and that was my imposter syndrome. Every time I like go down for pictures or something, I'm like, they have no because you were introducing everyone, you're like, and so-and-so dressed as so-and-so. And I'm like, should I walk a different way? Just walk through the arena this time? Like, they're going to have no clue who I am.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to do that. That was...
That was elite.
It's been... let's start there because it's been... and I want to get to know about, you know, your career and your soccer career. And now you're at EA Sports. So we have a lot to discuss. But like we said, that's where we first knew of you playing for Sky Blue and Gotham as well. And I want to talk about that transition, that brand transition from Sky Blue to Gotham, because Sky Blue wasn't doing the runway stuff. You know what I mean?
No, like
Sky Blue wasn't doing a lot of stuff.
No, they weren't.
So it was
they weren't doing the housing thing.
Yeah.
We
didn't even have like a place to shower, let alone a fashion runway.
Yeah, it's unreal. So we're playing in NWSL at a time with a massive just a light.
Good point. The transition Nicole Baxter experienced.
Yeah.
The massive light that was shown on NWSL for good reasons, for bad reasons. But there were a lot of changes. So just in that brand transition, what were some of the things we're like, oh my God, I can't believe we have this now. You know, shin guards? How cool.
Right? So the brand, it's interesting because I think for me, I was nervous that the brand transition would just be like a lot of cosmetic fixes.
Yeah.
When really we needed like stability. We needed like a locker room and like we like had basic needs that we needed to be fulfilled. But even before the brand change, we got into Red Bull Arena. Yeah. We started training at Red Bull training facility. So like that to me was the important change. Stuff like that, like our housing improved before we even went from Sky Blue to Gotham. And then we had been like hearing about this rebrand for a while and we're like, okay, I'm sure you're gonna rebrand. And we got like a month into preseason as Sky Blue, like training gear all said Sky Blue. And then one day we got an email from probably like the GM at the time being like, we have an announcement, like we're finally rebranding. And we got this survey of like, we got to like, as players, like vote on some things that we wanted to like see in the rebrand. Like, did we want it to be just New York? Did we want them to drop New Jersey? We got to vote on the name, and Gotham FC was one of the names.
Can you reveal one of the other ones?
They were very basic. Gotham FC was like the most unique one. The other ones were like New York United, like like that, kind of like, well, okay. Like, do we really go for it with Gotham or like, let's just play it safe? I I think all the players voted to play safe, to be honest. So then we got this like PowerPoint presentation. They're like, okay, big like reveal, Gotham FC. And we were all like, what the f-? None of us voted for this.
They got nothing to do with what we said.
I literally wrote an essay about why New Jersey should be dropped from the name. I wanted it to just be like straight up New York.
And you from Jersey.
I know.
Wow.
But like, Red Bulls had...
Marketing-wise,
it just made more sense in my head. But like, clearly I took the survey like too seriously. I really thought I'd have an opinion.
It's like a dark desk at night, you got the one lamp on.
I'm like, okay, so here's my thesis. Just writing it out.
If you look at deck five that I've attached to this.
I was ready to do that.
I see your PowerPoint presentation. Now I will deliver my own.
Here's my presentation.
Funny, you have an announcement. I too have an announcement.
So anyway, long story short, the rebrand itself was like fun. Like we got all new gear and all that. But for me, it was the changes that came before like those cosmetic changes came where like we got a real stadium, like a real training facility. Like that to me was the stuff that we like absolutely needed to really be like a professional.
Can you
club.
Talk a little bit about what were the conditions like before?
Yeah, that's important.
Those changes happened.
So we were training at Georgian Court University.
Have you all heard of that?
Yeah, it's a very famous...
My alma mater.
Very famous program in like Bumblefuck, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And we were sharing the like facilities with the college kids. I think they're like a Division III program and we were training on the turf fields and we had access to it from the time training started till when it finished. So like no extra work, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. For anyone listening who maybe is European... and doesn't know the landscape. This is a fully professional team in quite possibly the best women's league in the world.
Yeah, this was like Carly Lloyd was training at Georgian Court University. Yeah. And then we'd go in for treatment afterwards and you'd be in there with the college kids. Like they're there for preseason, they're training too. So like they'd be on the field before us and we'd come on and then we'd both be in the training room together. And it was just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we just like didn't have the best housing. Like I think there's a lot of like publicity on what it was before that in terms of like girls were creating curtains with like tissue paper, like with sheets and like things were falling apart.
Right.
So the conditions were like,
what town was that in?
One of those like beach towns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not like, and everyone was spread out. It was just like not a professional environment. And I don't think like anyone there was like, wow, this is so much fun. Like everyone was like, what the f*** are we doing here?
I remember there was a draft where players were like,
oh, they were like, hell no.
Play for Sky Blue.
Yeah, like we counted at one point, this was a couple years ago, we counted like the turnover that had happened from like 2016 to like, it may have been like 2020 at the time. And there were over 100 players that had like come and went from the club and like a ton of staff members as well, because players would get there and they'd be like, this is like absurd. And they would ask for a trade or they would refuse to come. Like a lot of those draft picks were like, I ain't going there. Like some of them literally moved to Sweden to not have to play for Sky Blue. So like, I think stuff like that was a huge like wake up call for the club.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We're not that far removed from that.
No, we're really not.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, you know, I'm glad there's improvement and it's a frustrating recent history to kind of experience. I mean, you also, you retired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite a few times, actually.
Yeah. So it's an interesting, I want to know about kind of like your career, maybe just even your relationship with the sport and just working, being a professional player, because it clearly there's been ups and downs.
Yeah. Why don't start with why retire so much?
Yeah. So, I mean, before this even started, we talked a lot about imposter syndrome and still to this day, I mean, now maybe after like three retirements, I'm like, okay, I can keep up. But when I first graduated college, I was like, there's literally no way I can play in this league. There's like not a single chance. Like, look at how good all these girls are. Look at the colleges they're coming from. So I went into preseason. 2016 was the year I graduated college. While I was still in college, I went to an open tryout for Sky Blue and I got invited to preseason. When I got to preseason, I was terrible. I was trash. I was like, after the first week, I was like, there's literally no way that they keep me here. Like, it'd be really nice of them to like let me keep training, but like I'm bringing down the level of play. Like I'm playing so slow. I was terrible. So I got cut the next week. So I was there for maybe 6 days before they were like, get the out of here.
Please don't ever do that to us again.
Yeah. You got some to work on, girl. And so after that, I was like, I'll just go get a job. Like, there's just no way I'll ever become good enough to do that. And so that was my first retirement. I worked in DC. It was fun. But then I find myself being like, well, what would have happened, like, had I tried a little bit harder, like trained or something? Because like, who can really, even the some of the best players have trouble transitioning to the NWSL. So like, I went to William & Mary. Yeah. Who's going from William & Mary to the star of Sky Blue FC?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Definitely not me. So I was like, all right, I'll start training again. And I got into a really good training environment. And I'm like, at this point, this is 2018. So I retired 2016, worked 2018, went to my now second Sky Blue open tryout, got invited into preseason. I'm like, I'm sick at these open tryouts. Like,
dude, I'm crushing. Yeah, like, can this just I be my
am
career?
So good at open yeah. tryouts. And I went into preseason, and that time I did a lot better. So I was like, wow, I can at least keep up. I'm not bringing the level down. Like, I still wasn't like, I should get a contract here. But for me, I was like, wow, this was really fun to see how much I've improved. Sure. And I think I'll like keep doing this. So even though I didn't get a contract there, I went and played in Sweden. And Denise Reddy was the coach at that Sky Blue team at the time. And she didn't sign me, but I went and played in Sweden. And when I came back, I messaged her and I was like, hey, do you think I'd come into training just while I like figure out my next move? And I went into training and I killed it.
Yeah. Really?
To this day, it was probably the best training session I've ever had. And she was like, you are welcome here anytime. And for me, that was this moment of like, wait, maybe I can play in the NWSL. Yeah. And so from the day I got there, I just never left. And I was a practice player for a while, but I was kind of just like, if I stay here long enough, like eventually they're going to need numbers and like someone's going to have to sign me.
Right, right.
Like I was just lingering as a practice player. And then eventually I was a national team replacement player. And then eventually I was like full team player. So that was like my longest stretch of playing. And then in 2022, I think that was the year we went about 3-17 yeah. at Gotham.
That was so, a rough one.
Yeah, we were just absolutely terrible. And on paper, we should have been really good. So like at the end of that season, you obviously have to make a ton of changes. And so I got waived from the team at the end of that season. Went and played for the Pride for a little bit. Didn't get a contract there. And so that was my like real, I call that like my real retirement of like, I really like, I'm kind of over this. This
yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of over it. So that's when I started working for EA Sports. EA,
right, right.
And, is that yeah. difficult to make that change? I know players talk about this all the time, that like leaving the locker room, leaving the pitch, leaving the other players, that now walking away from that mm-hmm. and going somewhere where it's an office environment, you're inside during the day, you're not out, you're not getting to touch grass,
yeah,
all that, or turf.
Yeah, you're not touching turf. sounded like weird, didn't it? So I think it's different for everyone, but I think it is like a big misconception that like once you stop playing, you're going to be miserable. And I think that scares a lot of people into like playing for longer than like their heart's in it.
Right.
For me, it was the easiest transition because I just like knew that I was done. And I was just like, I put so much into this. I tried so hard and I still barely played, but I got a lot better. And I'm like, I think for me, I was like really satisfied with like, this I think is the best it's going to get for me. And like, I'm happy with how I did this and I'm like so ready to move on. And then when I started working, like I work for a soccer, not a soccer company, but like the team I'm on is all soccer all day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I didn't really lose that. Like I get the same, more soccer than I did when I was playing, and I don't have to run around. So it was kind amazing. Of like, yeah. I should have done this earlier.
You went
earlier.
From Christian to Alexis, yeah. is yeah. what you yeah. did.
Yeah. Like, I should have retired years ago yeah. at this point.
This is so much more fun.
How did it feel watching Gotham win the championship?
That was tough.
And not getting to be a part of that?
It was tough. Yeah, I was definitely like, it's so hard because there are a lot of like people on that team that I loved. Still love. And I was really happy for them to win the championship, but I was like, yeah. like, now it looks like they won because they cut me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It could have been me.
Yeah. I'm like, damn, if they would have just kept, I mean, I wasn't like playing that much anyway. They could have just kept me as undressed and I yeah. still would have got a ring. So it was really difficult. And it was, yeah, it was just kind of this bittersweet of like, I do still love the club. Like, obviously, I played for them during the Summer Cup and I will always like root for them, but then there was this small part of me that was like, but I also kind of hope they fail secretly, quietly,
because you need me.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, like yeah. I just, yeah, that's what I wanted, and it just wasn't realistic. Like I wasn't even really contributing on the field, that, you know. So I think them winning was actually the best thing for like healing me because I'm like, I can't feel any worse than that.
Right, yeah. Closure.
Yeah.
May not have wanted it, but I got it.
I'm like, it seriously can't hurt any more than like watching them win the year after they cut me. So like, it's like I went from being like a little bit bitter and like not really being able to like fully cheer for Gotham to being like, yay, Gotham. Like, I love that club.
How do you feel looking at the state of WOSO, women's soccer, and saying, I'm for the fans, not for you.
Yeah.
I know you know what that is. How does it?
Hey, Toots, let me just explain how women's soccer works.
Oh my God.
This is the mansplain moment brought to you by.
I'd honestly have to leave if that was happening. I'd have to leave.
No, but how does it feel looking at the game now and being like, yo, there's two Division Ones. You're sort of you're able to look at it from a much more unbiased perspective. Mm-hmm. If you were NWSL, would you be worried? Would you be excited about this addition? Do you think it's going to water down the product? Are you thinking of signing with some random team in Des Moines?
Yeah,
you
know? I thought about it. I think the state of women's soccer is like incredible. And I think when the USL Super League was announced, my first thought was like, why not just make yourself a tier two? Like, why not let the NWSL be here and then be, it's kind of like MLS USL type thing. Yeah.
Almost like
but,
a feeder league.
Yeah. But if you look at like, cause I've trained a lot with USL kids, like they kind of are separate leagues anyway. Like not a lot of kids go from the USL to the MLS or vice versa. Like they're really, it's not as feeder as they make it seem. Mm-hmm. So now that the USL has started, I'm like, I'm kind of on board with there just being two tier ones. And if people think the NWSL is better and they want to play there, go ahead. If people think the USL is better for them, go play there. But I'm like, there's twice as much opportunity to play professionally in the US as there was before. And like for me, if that were a thing when I was retiring, I would probably have played in the USL. Or even like the times where I went to Sweden, I probably would have just played in the USL. Yeah. Like now you don't have to leave the country to get these opportunities. So I think it's amazing. Like I'm so on board for two leagues.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big issues with NWSL is that there's just not enough teams. Mm-hmm. And there's more talent than there are teams available. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the expansion is always an issue and finding investors and finding locations and so on and so forth. So USL steps in to solve a bit of that problem.
Right.
My concern is the... it's not even about two tier ones and the competition between the two. I'm just like, and maybe this will resolve itself at some point, but like, is there enough talent for a whole other league? Like, does the quality drop
surprised.
Significantly? I'm asking the question. I'm not making that determination.
Right. A lot of the folks that are playing in USL Women's League are NWSL players.
Yeah, former NWSL players. Mm-hmm. I think like there's no doubt that it's the first year of the league. Like the talent, the level of play is not the same as the NWSL, but like there are still a lot of very good players in the USL. And I think like for me, it's not so much as like these levels have to be the same. It's just kind of like a difference in opportunity. So like you'd be shocked at how many people were at NWSL teams unpaid as like practice players, just like hoping one day they would be needed there.
Oh, sure.
And to transition this into like, we were going to talk about the Summer Cup anyway, but it's the whole reason that a team like Gotham asked me to play in the Summer Cup, because when you have like these extra games, say you have injuries, say people are away for international duty, you usually just sign a practice player as like a national team replacement player and you're fine. You have perfectly good numbers. Now, all of those practice players are playing for USL teams. Yeah. So it's like the talent was more mixed than you think anyway.
That talent was already there, you're saying.
Yeah, the talent was already there.
They just found a home to have a
professional
contract.
And you just didn't know they were there.
That's even better, yeah.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's just giving girls who maybe were bubble NWSL players or were having trouble getting signed, not necessarily even because they weren't good enough, just because like there was such a lack of opportunity. Like you could be really good and be a practice player. And like I've been in situations like this where I'm like, I feel like I'm just as, like when I was a practice player, I feel like I'm just as good as her. Mm-hmm. But like they're not going to cut that girl because I'm just as good as her, right? As a practice player, you have to be much better than someone for them to be like, we're going to get them into our office and tell them they're fired.
Right.
So like the USL just provides a space for those girls who like actually have deserved to play professionally.
Okay.
That's crazy. Who's the most famous person in your phone? I was just thinking about it.
I was like, what the hell? Wow. What kind of a transition?
Alexis, that's not like, on the rundown.
I thought we were talking about the USL. Do you want me to answer
that?
Most famous person in my phone? I mean, it's probably like... Ashlyn and Allie, Carly. It's like girls I played with.
That's
women's
awesome.
Soccer.
Yeah. Okay. That's those are the names I was expecting to hear.
All right. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask about...
You probably have a lot of those numbers as well, honestly. It's not that cool to
hear. We're in the same circles.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the names you mentioned, we don't really speak to as much anymore.
Playing in the Summer Cup, did it...
This is the TST.
No.
No.
Okay. Summer Cup.
Come on. Keep
no,
up.
No, you said when we saw me at the Summer Cup. So I was like, the
title of it was Summer Cup. Yes. Okay. You played with Gotham.
It's all kind of like blending together. Honestly. Yeah.
I was very confused before. Yeah. I'm like, is she talking about TSM? Yes.
How did it feel just to be playing again? And, when you were playing, and because I already knew you worked at EA, I'm like, how do you get the time off to go play like a pro again?
I did not.
Sick days right here.
Is it a vacation day? Or how does it work?
The time off.
Okay.
You're doing a work from pitch? Is that it?
Well, so I work West Coast hours. So my team doesn't start till like 12:30 every day. So I back up, right? I played in TST and that was the most I had played in since I retired. And mind you, that's 77 like small sided. So I was doing a little bit of running, but like nothing crazy. But like I had a decent tournament. Like I've always been a good small sided player. I've always been better at small sided than 11s, honestly. So after that tournament, I obviously stopped running because I'm like, well, that's over. Yeah. I don't need to be fit till next year. And that is when Yael texted me and asked if I'd be interested in being a national team replacement player. And my immediate thought was like, well, first of all, I have a job. And second of all, like, I'm not fit. Like, it would be criminal to play me 11v11 right now. Like, I would die. I would seriously die. And we talked about it. And then I had to talk to work because obviously the NWSL is in the video game.
Yeah.
So I was like, is this a conflict of interest? Like, anyway, it ended up working out where I could train in the morning and then I would be done with soccer by the time my 12:30 meeting started. I was able to do both. It wasn't like the most fun thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think because I work fully remote, so I'm like, how hard can it be? Like, it's like I'll get a workout in the morning and then like I'll go to work. But I underestimated how tired I would be from
like someone
from
call
playing.
Nicole and wake her up.
Yeah, yeah.
We're almost done.
It's
with
like
the meeting.
2 p.m. and I'm like, I'm like trying to keep my eyes open for my meetings. Like, it was a lot more difficult than I anticipated, and I think I just like forgot how hard it is to play professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
What about playing? How hard was it to go back to like full on 11s?
Not as bad as I thought it would be, but it did take me the first week to like catch my breath. Yeah. And like Gotham is very good players. And on top of that, like when you're going in as a national team replacement player, you go wherever the you're needed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm getting thrown at center back. Mind you, like defending is by far my worst attribute. Like if I had an EA Sports like FC card, defending would be in the 30s. Like it's not good. And so I'm defending like Ella Stevens, Katie Stengel, like these girls who are very, very good against professional center backs. So like it was really hard. The level is just so good. And like I'm not sharp at my own position, let alone like at a different one. So it took me like a week to really catch my breath and like feel like I could like run and stuff again. But after that, it was honestly fine. Like I was just going in there and being like, try not to bring down the level and do your job and then like go home and do your real job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So cool. There's a lot of parallels to like being thrown into those situations like early in our comedy career where someone's like, the first chance you get like on a lineup on like a professional club, you're like, oh my God, it's not some random bar show. Like it's real.
Yeah.
And then you see like the first two comics go up and you're like, okay, they've done this a lot before.
Yeah.
Now all I have to do is just not stop this momentum. Don't let me be the one to mess up. Please.
Exactly.
Can I get out of here without anyone noticing who I am?
Exactly. And like, and at that point, like Gotham, they needed players. So they're bringing in some college kids, some like high school kids. And I'm like, just don't stand out as bad. Like do whatever you got to do to get through this.
Who's
and then
the
get
girl,
out.
I forgot her name, but she's like Gotham signed up. She's like 14.
Yeah, super young.
Mac Whitman.
Yeah.
Whitam. I always say the wrong name.
And it was so yeah, part of me is just like, Nicole must have been like, you brought your child over me.
I got to compete with this one. Unlimited energy over here.
I would look at her at training and I'm like, there's just no way you're 13 years old. Right. And then she turns 14. Like, I'm 14 now. I'm like, my niece is like 11.
Yeah.
And then like I'm like, you could be a member of my family. You could actually be my child. There was one time we were sitting on the bench together and I was just like, I cannot believe this is really happening. Like a 30-year-old of 14, she's like, you're 30? I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, fuck. Wow.
She's like, what was the Great Depression like?
Yeah. I didn't know age went that high.
Yeah, and she's like so nervous. Like she might make like her debut in the Summer Cup. And I'm like, girl, what are you nervous nervous about? Like, who cares? Like, could not be further apart in like where we're at in our careers. It was honestly fun, like being there with someone like who cared that much, because it reminded me, like you said, like this is a professional environment.
Exactly.
Like, you can't like go on here and be disrespectful. Yeah, like, this is not a joke.
We sometimes even
she still gets lollipops at doctor's visits. Yeah. It's very confusing.
She needs parental consent for everything she does. She has to have a parent with her all the time. I'm like, seriously, we could not be further apart.
Get along. Yeah.
Her dad was American. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We graduated. Hey, we graduated together.
She needs to sign a permission slip to get that pass. You know what I mean?
Like, oh my God. There were times like we'd be warming up together and like people were cheering her name in the stands. I'm like, Mac, they're your age. Isn't that crazy? Like they're cheering for you and they're your age. Yeah. They might actually be older than you.
That's wild.
Crazy. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Every hard tackle, child abuse. Yeah. This is child abuse. My mother's holding a flip flop if it was me.
No, it is. I mean, we don't have to spend too much time talking about it, but just the fact that this is now, we've seen it in men's sports for years, but the fact that young players are getting opportunities. I mean, we talked about this with Melanie Barcenas from mm-hmm. San Diego Wave, because as soon as she was signed, the comments were very, and usually from like, it seems like moms were always
it was like Midwestern white Karens who were like, how dare you?
Yeah. Like, you just ruined her life. Yeah. She's fine.
Let
she's
her
fine.
Be a child.
Yeah. She probably has a 6-figure Nike deal. She's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
She'll pay for college if she ever wants to go.
Bro,
like, she's
she'll
fine.
Pay for your college. Yeah. Lady.
So, financially, they're fine.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I think it's probably a net positive for the sport, that the fact that that's even happening. And the fact that young kids care about the game and to get good enough to be a professional at that age, I think it's remarkable to see that in women's sports now.
Yeah, I do think that like they have to be careful though, because like when you see it in Europe, like they have like youth teams that those players can go play with to get minutes. So like for me, it's not like the financial part of it that's a worry. It's like the development part of it. Like, are we really going to get the best out of this player if she's signed, but she's not good enough to like start over any of these players or like really get a ton of game time? So for me, that's my main worry, is like, would you be in, and I'm not like specifically talking about Mac, this is like all of the young kids who are signing, like, would you be better off if you played with like a really, really good club team or a really good like U16 team in Europe? Would you like actually develop a bit more and like get a little bit more out of this?
And like real game time, real minutes.
Exactly. Because like there's only so much that you can improve on in training, especially like when you're midseason in the NWSL, like training is not like 11s for 60 minutes. Like, people need to rest. Like, some of these people end up training like twice a week because people have injuries. Like, you're not really getting the reps that you need just in training to like reach your potential.
Sure.
So that's what worries me about it. Just like, are they going to develop as much as they could have if maybe we put them in a different situation?
I think you make a good point. Obviously, you played, so you understand that in a way we would never. So I want to give you this opportunity. Let's say I grant you the czar of WOSU, which is women's soccer, by the way. Just in case you forgot.
The czar.
You are the czar of WOSU. You can make any one rule that you think would improve the game, whether it's for the players or for the overall good of the game, whatever. What's one thing you would say you want to change immediately, day one?
Oh my goodness.
Well, to give you even some time to think, I mean, I think even the new CBA for NWSL.
No drafts.
No drafts, the free agency. Clearly, like, that's a big step forward, where I just saw an article, I think on ESPN, talking, there was like an anonymous survey that some of the either GMs or people in front office, people saying that that the changes in the league have been almost like too far reaching. The players have too much power.
Yeah.
And the NWSL Players Association responded and being like,
you said the players have what?
Too much power.
So it should be.
So you could sort of understand, like, obviously dealing with any union, the organization, if that institution, of course, is going to be like, no, they have way too much power.
Yeah. How do you expect us to pay for our yachts if we're paying a fair wage?
Yeah, right.
But it seems like
minimum wage.
That some of the changes that maybe you were even thinking about, I feel like free agency is kind of one of those big ones that seems to give players a lot more autonomy.
I think people are so f***ing mad about this draft thing. And it's just like, drafts are like so American. aren't they? Right. All sports in this country are like the draft, like woohoo. The players hate it. So it's like, look at like in Europe, you sign with the team that you think is going to be best for your development. And like, why not give players that like autonomy here, even though it's new? So like an article like that is so not surprising. I got so many texts, people who don't even watch the NWSL suddenly care that there's no college draft.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't give a shit about this league. You've never watched a game, but suddenly it's like so un-American to not have a draft.
Right.
Who like, are you friends with that is texting you that doesn't care about the sport,
no,
but is also mad that players have autonomy? Yeah,
you'd be shocked. Yeah. You'd be absolutely shocked. People just grab onto headlines and they're like, no draft. Like, what do you think about that? I'm like, I even waste my energy texting
you
back.
But what about the owners? Yeah. They're not going to have, you know,
going to make the billionaires happy.
Like, come on. But people are so caught up on it. And I'm just like, if you, now you're going to have to fact check me on this, but you look amazing. Perfect. Yeah. So I'll just lie. So if you look at like everyone that's been drafted since the start of the NWSL, I would bet you that a very small percentage of those players are still at the team that they were drafted to. And I would bet you that they weren't on that team for very long. Because when you get drafted, like you're put into an environment you didn't ask to be in. So like maybe you know you're going to struggle under this coach and this system, yeah, but they draft you. It's just like it doesn't help the players when they're drafted to a team that they didn't ask to be on.
They don't have any communication with you on the draft. Like, you know,
I wasn't drafted,
Spirit,
so I wasn't drafted.
You
so
wasn't a player.
Wouldn't know. No, I do. There are like phone calls that happen.
And you can't be like, I'm not really feeling the system. Doc.
Oh, I've heard many stories where players are honest about like, I don't know if I'd want to play at that club, and they get drafted there anyway.
Yeah.
So like. Yeah, I
a
think
spite draft.
She'll come around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like,
she
"I'll go to Sweden.
We'll make her be
yeah,
here."
Yeah, because if you're that good, clubs are like, "We'll make it work."
Yeah,
it'll be fine. And then the player's like, "I'm going to go to Sweden instead," you know. Or like players get drafted and then they demand a trade. So it's like, why not just avoid all of that and let the players sign for who they want to sign for?
Yeah, I mean, Mia Fischel is kind of one of the names that comes to mind. She was like, this is not the situation I want to be in. Mm-hmm. And ended up going to Tigres, and now she's at Chelsea. And, you know, right, she's obviously injured now, but clearly it was worked a better out. Move. Right. It worked out for her.
Right. But a player like that, too, like, she had a lot of hype. So, like, she was able to get an opportunity at a club like Tigres and then Chelsea. Like, there are a lot of girls who get drafted who, like, maybe Tigres don't want or, like, Chelsea doesn't want, and they are just stuck there.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever, like let them sign with who they want to sign with.
No, I think it's a monumental
Brooklyn FC now. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's another thing, like with the USL being a thing, like if people want to sign for those teams too, now they have like the full freedom of not like having to enter the NWSL draft and like seeing what happens. Like that's also a thing. Where you sign up for the draft and then you're like, please, 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 please call my name.
Yeah,
like
you have control over even where you want to live.
Yeah,
a lot of things like that.
And the timing of when you sign for a team. And I just think it's like, it'll be better for the players.
Okay.
I want to ask, do you think, and I still want the czar answer, but do you think it would benefit NWSL, women's soccer in America, if NWSL and USL agreed to have promotion and relegation between both leagues?
Oh, I would love that. I would really love that, honestly, because I mean, I've been on a last place team and I think there's something to be said for like, we still have something to play for.
Yeah.
And I think, again, the headlines with that would be absolutely crazy.
If women's soccer were the first to do it in America, it would be huge. No?
I'm hoping Emma Hayes does something with that. I'm hoping she has like some say in this. Like, I feel like a national team coach has to be able to talk to the NWSL and get that going. I'm a huge fan of promotion relegation.
All right.
I mean, like, I'm so for it. Are you against it?
No, I'm all for it.
No, we're all for it.
I also think it would be massive if the women's side did it first.
Yeah.
It would be huge. The marketing opportunity alone would be absolutely massive. Just every American sports channel that isn't Golazo Network that would have to explain what this means, what's this change, and then they'd be doing, what if this happened in the NBA? It was like,
oh,
all the conversation
gosh,
would always be about women's soccer
so
for an entire summer.
I think even
so
removing the draft kind of already started that.
Yeah.
It did, but it was like a blip. Promotion relegation
was,
and then at the end of the season you talk about it. At the beginning of next season you talk about it. It's a constant conversation piece for women's soccer across all major news outlets in America.
But the thing is, to do that, I think there would have to be a tier one and tier two.
Yeah.
I don't know if the USL would ever do that. Like, imagine being on Brooklyn and being like, well, if we win the league, we're going to be in the NWSL next year. But maybe some of those girls don't want to be in the NWSL. So, like, we would have to, like, sort that out, I think.
Okay.
Because, obviously, like, if you look at, like, the WSL in England.
Thing, you know? Like, listen, we're all just
there
boring,
are some
know?
Kinks we have to sort out, yeah, yeah, but I'm all for it if we can get those sorted.
Show,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Shouts to all the pro rel freaks.
You trying to match my pro rel freak?
I don't know who's going to be watching
this.
You
want to go up, I could go down. You feel me?
Okay, all right. We all saw the Shannon Sharp video.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
1 minute, 26 seconds. Damn, huh?
Okay, I said, we all watched it. Damn. Okay, we're all adults here.
I got sneezes last longer, dude.
Anyway, so I want to talk about EAFC.
Anything else?
EAFC.
Wait, did you get your czar answer
no,
yet?
No, I have literally no clue how to answer that. Okay. The one rule one change I would make?
Like, what's one change you would have made during your playing career that you think would make it better?
You can't have unpaid practice players.
Hey, right, I love it.
That would be it. Yeah. I think, like, at the very least, they need a stipend for every day that they're there.
Facts.
Yeah.
Okay.
You put on boots, you get money.
Yeah. Like, the team needs you. Like, pay them, you know?
Yeah.
That'll change with the USL now, but that's the rule I'm making. You cannot have a player at training who is not at least paid on the day. That's what I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's simple labor things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
EAFC 25 is dropping. I think it's the 27th mm-hmm. is the official release date.
Should we ask the most important question, the one that's on everyone's mind? When are the Cooligans getting into the EAFC?
I mean, who do we got to talk to?
They just did a contract with, what's his name? Fabrizio
Romano.
So he's in the game now. I think maybe it's just career mode, but his name pops up for like transfers and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay. I mean, look.
I'll see what I can do.
I mean, we know Fabrizio. Does that help us?
He follows us.
Yeah. He raised
us on
Twitch.
Just ask him to start
once.
Tagging you like a ton. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this wasn't necessarily going to be our pitch to try to get into the game.
Listen, sometimes you show opportunities.
All I'm saying is that our friend Troops was on the Volta mode a couple years ago. He was like the MC
before I worked there
for the game. So I'm just saying, I mean, if there's ever an opportunity.
Listen,
if you do like a Brooklyn Street game.
I need to get promoted so heavily for me to ever have a say in this.
More promotion relegation. Yeah. But
So I just want people to know what you're doing at EA and how you are involved in EAFC. So just let people know.
Yeah, so I work on Ultimate Team. So I'm a live content producer on that specific game mode, and I work mainly on the players team. And so we basically select and create all of the players that get released in the Ultimate Team game mode. Like all the different campaigns, Road to the Knockout, Fantasy FC, all those good things.
The SBCs.
Yeah.
That's me, bro, all day. Yeah. That's all I spend too much time on this game to not. I should be like a streamer or something. I should be.
You should give it a go.
Like just drop 10K on.
And that's my thing. And this is probably antithetical to what EA is. I mean, obviously you're trying to make money. We all understand that.
Yeah.
I try to do everything I can to not spend any money on the. I try to get as good as possible.
Yes.
Without spending money.
Right.
Why is Nicole leaving the show
yeah.
right now?
Yeah. It's like,
So it's not about. I mean, look.
We're never going to get on this damn game, dude.
It is.
You can not sit here and say you don't spend money on the game and then ask me to get the Cooligans right. in the game.
No, here's what you don't know is I spend money enough for two people on
this
game.
Alexis so, makes effort.
We're balancing.
No, but very much I play against people who do spend money in Ultimate. I mean, I spend money to buy the game. That counts for something, I hope. But the fact that I do play against people, and sometimes you play in early in the Ultimate Team like season, mm-hmm. and it's like, all right, well, how did you get?
Yeah, how'd you get this?
Pele.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Well, it's probably like an EA employee who like granted themselves the player.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I hope that's not
you gotta get a job at EA.
That is a legend. I hope that's not the truth.
Cut that out.
But getting to be involved in the game in Ultimate Team, especially as a former women's soccer player, and what perspective are you bringing? What is your vision, especially within Ultimate Team? And not like I have like Trinity Rodman on my team, mm-hmm. and even before the you know, team of the year cards that came out, and even before the footies card came out, the Trinity Robin was like one of the better players in the game, one of the faster players. So what is your vision or effort to try to uplift some of these players?
Yeah, well, the whole reason I work there is because there is an opportunity to work with women's soccer. Like when I stopped playing, I wanted to work in women's soccer, but I didn't necessarily want to work for like a women's soccer company. I'm like, if I wanted to be overworked and underpaid, I'd just probably keep playing. So I was like looking at like what companies are investing in women's soccer, women's sports that I feel like might need someone like me. And when I was connected with EA Sports, there was an opportunity for me to have like a direct hand in helping the women like integrate into the game. And so for me, when I was like got the opportunity to be on this team and Ultimate Team and like really like have a hand on women's like player selection and women's player creation, for me, I'm just like, what an opportunity to show the world how exciting these like women's soccer players can be. And that has always been my goal of like, how can we get women's soccer like to be more popular? Like, how can we get more eyes on it? And I think what we're seeing is like the more that people play with these women in the game, they recognize that maybe they should follow them outside of the game. And so my like goal has always been to just like grow women's soccer in whatever way I can. And like EA Sports, they are like so on board. Like they are just like the perfect company to help the women's game grow, because the product already exists. Yeah. It was simply just adding the women into it.
And
it, you know?
And it's just, Alex, even in my experience, I've been playing Ultimate Team specifically only for like maybe I think this is my fifth year playing it, but I've been playing, you know, FIFA beforehand for years, but the just the drastic impact and influence of just like you open a pack and women's players are popping up.
Or just imagine the enjoyment every male player that's ever played in MLS, good or bad, has been able to turn on the game and play as themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And now NWSL players get that opportunity. That's huge.
And even like for just like regular fans, like I grew up playing FIFA, never really Ultimate Team, but I grew up playing FIFA. I'd always play with Chelsea, and I became like a huge Didier Drogba fan. I had literally never seen the man play in real life.
Sure.
And I was a huge fan. Yeah. So like now people can do that with female players. And I like that to me is so cool to think like there are little kids playing with Gotham FC and being like, whoa, now I'm a huge fan of Roosevelt or Delaney Sheehan or like whoever it is.
To
me is like the coolest thing.
Sure. I mean, look, and just, you know, sometimes I play Ultimate Team, and this happened a couple of times because my team name is Cooligans FC. And then occasionally I'll smack somebody like, up.
That's
you know?
A little dangerous to put like your, your company name.
They decided to change
Sophia Smith, hat trick. And then somebody's like, hey, is this... Are you actually one of the Cooligans?
I'm like, yeah. No. You're like, no.
No, dude.
The whole game, you're like, fuck you.
Fine, you know where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen to the show. I'm going to talk about how I cooked you today.
But no, it has been a really, really dope addition. Just because, again, I think, just like you said, like the more people play EAFC then probably watch soccer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 100%. This is how they're introduced to a lot of players.
It's the gateway drug for soccer fandom.
100%.
That's how it got me. I mean, I was great at the game before.
That's how
it
got me too. I mean, like I played soccer, but like I would have just never known about like the world of soccer that was out there if it wasn't for the game. Because like we didn't always have all this soccer on TV.
No, we did
like,
not.
You couldn't just watch the Premier League every weekend, right. You know? And now you get that with women's leagues too. So it's like, what like a world this opens up for women's soccer.
Totally.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's pretty
cool. All right. I think we should wrap up here. I just want to let everybody know, make sure you go follow Nicole Baxter.
We got to change our profile photo to you at a cubicle or something.
It is really misleading, isn't it? That's why it's there.
But no, Nicole Baxter 12 on IG.
You zoom out of my followers.
But no, this is so cool. Thank you so much for coming
thanks
through.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Letting us know everything that you're working on and everything that you're doing. This is, we'll probably, I'm sure we'll cross paths a bunch of EAFC coming out on the 27th. Mm-hmm. I gotta buy the Ultimate Edition and do the whole thing.
You could also get it on pre-release, and you get the extra week of Ultimate Team.
Exactly.
Do you have like a code we should give out? Well, do you get a little bump or something? A little bonus?
Nope.
Oh, no, damn.
Just go buy the game like everybody else.
Use promo code Nicole Baxter.
Yeah. To get no discount whatsoever.
To confuse the server.
But Nicole Baxter, thank you so much for joining us. You're welcome back anytime. This is super, super
cool. Thanks for having
cool.
me, guys. That was fun.
The best.
Thanks for the claps.
Of course, to our audience.
Yes.
Shout out to Nicole Baxter. Thank Amazing. You so much for coming through.
What a great interview. Cool person, bro.
Great person. That's what I'm saying. I said when I saw her, when we chatted at TST, I was like, yo, you need to be on more podcasts. You need to be on a regular like platform because it's a great personality. And also, as you saw, unfiltered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very much so.
Kept it a buck.
A lot of beeps. A lot of bleeps in this episode. She's one of those people that like I love. What I love about her is like you ask her any question, you see that there's no like, should I answer this? She just goes right into it like we're all hanging out at a bar. It's so awesome.
She's the best. All right. So shout out to Nicole. All right. We're going to wrap up with some rapido reactions.
Rapido
so
reactions.
Let producer Carter take it away. What do we got today?
All right. So we've got seven things today. We're going to start off with the North London Derby preview. Arsenal versus Tottenham. Give us your thoughts.
This would be great if Arsenal wasn't also a triage center right now.
Who's going to make it? Yeah. All right? Nobody's available.
Bro, I just saw the news that Arteta was signing the contract. I thought he got injured when I saw his photo. I'm like, yo, how did he get injured?
It takes a little bit of the fun of this North London derby that both teams are not at their like full squad.
Especially
full capacity.
A player like Odegaard, which I think honestly everyone just loves watching anyway.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players. Yeah,
yeah.
Did you see the injury? You saw how he rolled down.
But hey, it's not fractured.
Exactly. So that's nice. So that's good news. So they say he's gonna miss about 3 weeks, but no Declan Rice because of the suspension.
Calafiori's out. Mikel Merino's still injured. He's gonna be out for a while. It's tough, but hopefully now Wanyeri starts. Get the kids out here.
But good thing Arsenal sold all their players that could have stepped up in that position.
We didn't need them. You feel me?
So this is where I was telling this to Carter. I think this is if Arsenal don't get a victory here, I think Man City win the league. I think the league is that's it. I think it's over.
It's too soon, bro.
I don't know.
No, we got like 115 charges left before the end of the season.
Now the lawyer. See if Lawyer FC can defeat Manchester City.
No, I need to make sure that the FA's lawyers don't get any injuries on the way to that court trial on Monday. You feel me?
So yeah, I'm a little less excited, but you know, it is Tottenham. I mean, this is your club, Carter. I don't know. It's still even a weakened Arsenal still feel like they should.
Look, this is why you go out and get the players that you've purchased is to be able to win these games. So go out, win it.
All right. Best of luck to both clubs.
All right, next here we got Colombia defeating Argentina in a World Cup qualifier.
Bro, this is an important result and clearly revenge from the Copa America. Final.
So
okay.
If you don't remember the Copa America, obviously Argentina beats Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
You know the last time Colombia lost?
When? What?
It was to Argentina in February 1st, 2022.
Look at that.
Bro, Colombia went on an epic run. So to beat them again shows you like, hey, it's not what you thought it was in that Copa America, bro.
Yeah, so a big victory. I think it's a World Cup qualifier. It's interesting. Colombia, these last few, these last 2 years have been, they missed the last World Cup. There was just so much disappointment. And the fact that they've turned things around to this degree of just like going on these unbeaten streaks and I still think they probably should have won Copa America. It's just like, but you know, it is what it is.
You know what? I think a lot of people say it's James, right?
Mm-hmm.
James has been the glue to keep the team together.
Coming back,
He's got him balling. I actually think it was, hold on, what is it? Like, enciende radio, prende la tele.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the most banging joint? That's the most banging pep. Joint Pepper Alley joint.
I've said this. We need this kind of culture for the USMNT. We need songs. We need people rallying, making dope tracks.
But here's the thing: like all of Colombia could be like, yes, reggaeton. There's not one music that would get all
That's
of America.
The problem.
Going.
Can we get a country song to just
no,
be a
No, I don't want to hear that.
So, yeah, but congrats to Columbia.
Turn on the radio. Turn on your television. It's not the same.
Let's go.
All right, next here we got Memphis Depay signing with Corinthians.
This is so crazy.
It's Corinthians, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them the respect they deserve for pronouncing it in a way you would have never expected. Shouts to the Portuguese.
My main concern...
Obviously, the Brazilians were speaking Portuguese. Portuguese is the language, goddamn.
My main concern here is Memphis Depay going to Brazil. Living in Sao Paulo.
You know what he's going to do. He is going to have the sickest rap videos of all time.
This is going to be ridiculous,
this
bro.
This is going to be epic, bro.
Memphis playing in Brazil is there's no way he's not going to get into some trouble.
The vibes are going to be insane, dude.
Okay, this is going to be like, you know, we worry about Shannon Sharp going on IG Live.
Bro.
Memphis, bro.
He might get himself a fake Paraguayan passport. Just like really feel the vibes, you know?
Just do things as the people do as the Romans,
you know, when in Rome, right? Yo, you in Brazil.
No, then this is an
interesting... Are his shoes covered in this photo on purpose?
Maybe he has like boots that aren't available yet or something like that. I don't know.
Weird, man. He doesn't drop feet pics. He didn't have to blur it out.
No, this is a move that is obviously it feels a little bit confusing because clearly he must have had opportunities in Europe. The Ronald Koeman talking about making the comparison about Steven Bergwijn and saying like, oh, he plays in Saudi. He must not.
He's done. But Steven Bergwijn's 26. How old is Memphis Depay? 30, 31?
Right, but Depay's not out of the picture in the national team. So I don't know.
Bro.
I don't know. I guess Brazil's not as bad, quote unquote, as Saudi or whatever. But all right, what's up next?
All right, next year we got John Texter saying that the probability for him to buy Everton is over 90%.
Cook, baby, cook.
90, I need it to be 100, John Texter.
And even then you won't believe it.
No, I think he's doing, so John Texter, obviously the owner of Crystal Palace, he's trying to buy Everton.
But he was trying to sell Crystal, his stake in Crystal Palace.
Exactly, yeah. So, but he's an American owner, seems like a good dude.
He owns Botafogo as well.
Owns Lyon.
Botafogo.
He is doing, I think, the right things in the media of just like, yo, I've done all I can do. He's being transparent. He's saying like, I've spoken to Farhad. He calls him by his first name. He's right. Just like, hey, look, I'm talking to him. So I think he's trying. Everton just put out a statement today being like, hey, you know, the comments are John Texter's personal perspective. We're still trying to figure out, which we're focusing on the next match and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Texter, the one thing that he does do that I got to give him credit because we've never really seen Farhad Moshiri do this at all. He just brings some optimism and care to the club. He's
a real American personality.
He's saying all the right things. He's like, I'm just a custodian of the club. I'm not here to take over.
Right.
I'm just like,
okay. You know, his like grand plan is the multi-club ownership model. He like truly believes in that.
Okay, so he might be an evil, sinister man, yeah, but he got us out of this.
But the way he's talking to us, man.
Okay, I'm believing it. Yeah. It makes me feel good.
Are you confident that this is the right move for Everton?
Yes, any move is the right move. But you know, there were the 777 partners, the Miami, I don't know, crypto guys or whatever.
Yeah, that got a lot of debt.
Yeah, that felt like, all right, at least somebody wants us. But it's like, oh, but who is this? Who are we going to next? But Texter does feel like he has a philosophy. And he even said, he was like, I just want to buy the team before the winter transfer window. Oh my God. Yo, yes, John. Yeah. Okay.
Fine. Take my money.
So, all right. What's next?
All right. Rodrigo Bentancur has been charged by the FA for his comments on Heung-min Son.
Damn.
Okay. So if people now.
Which one is he? Because all these Uruguayan guys look the same.
He's Argentinian, which is even better.
Is he really?
No, he's Uruguayan.
Oh, he's Uruguayan. Yeah. I thought he was Argentinian.
Don't ruin my joke.
Sorry, bro. I didn't mean to. He, if you don't remember this, he was in, this is when Tottenham was in Korea. Where were they?
This is when they were during the summer, and Bentancur was playing for Uruguay for Copa America.
Okay.
Yep.
And he did an interview, and they were talking about Tottenham. They're talking about, I believe, talking about Son, and he came up with a conversation, and he said something along the lines of like,
they said like, give this shirt to Son or whatever, and he said, which one is he?
They also look the same.
That was like paraphrasing.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, and
you gotta get charged for that.
It became it was a huge deal. It was a huge problem, and then Son. Like, they spoke to each other, and he said that he was trying to make a joke, and Son, like, had
yeah,
a...
You could tell that, like, he was comfortable saying that, because it felt like maybe he gets along with Son, he can make that joke.
Yeah.
But not in the media. That's something you... That's the group chat joke.
You can't... Yeah. I mean, there's no other... I mean, it's a bad joke. That's not...
Unless it's something Son and him have that they have a joke. Maybe. But you don't do that. That could offend a lot of other people.
Exactly. It's just such a stupid thing to say.
And also, you can't say, like, your Son apologized, so it's all good. Nah, that don't matter, because then... The next time there's a racist thing, you could just put pressure on the victim to be like, well, no, I've okayed it, so now you don't get in trouble. That's crap. You got to get punished. I will say, though, 6 to 12 is a lot more than they give. That's Ivan Toney numbers.
I know, right?
Bro, this, I'm like, bro, you don't do this for other racist stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what the... look, it's hard to...
Keep this energy is what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying you take away. I'm saying keep this energy.
They're trying to set a tone. I get it. I mean, it's just more mad at him. It's just so stupid.
Dude, so dumb.
It's just so dumb. What?
Yeah, man. Not everyone's a comedian.
Anything else? Last one. Man City's trial for their 115 charges start Monday.
Mm.
How will this affect them in the season?
Maybe they deducted enough points from the last two seasons that Arsenal have now won two titles. Is that possible?
Retroactive. This is going to be... So all the details about it, it starts on Monday. They said the trial itself is going to take about 2 months. It's going to be in private. We are not really going to hear too many details about it. The decision of this case will be determined in the spring of 2025. There's going to be a tremendous legal battle. I don't even know about want to happen.
There will be a result.
There will be a consequence.
That's not going to be the final result, because City's just going to be like, watch what we can do.
It's going to be a little bit, the Rodrigo Bentancourt punishment is going to be a little bit more severe than I think what City's going to face.
I also get the irony of me wearing what I'm wearing right now and talking about this. We are both season ticket holders to New York City FC. Let's put that out there. So obviously we hope New York City FC isn't punished in any way, shape, or form. They had nothing to do with this. But at the end of the day, you got 115 charges. At the very least, it would be great if it wasn't done in private, so that we could hear like the extent of what those charges are.
Sure.
There's got to be at least a couple bullshit ones in there.
But. Well, we know. I mean, the charges are public. Most of it, I think, and the egregious ones they say are just like about the money, that the sponsorship money that comes in, and that it's like an inflated price because it's like a company that they own or they have some relationship. That seems to be the biggest issue. But for the most part, I just think it's going to be a fairly boring journey throughout this whole thing.
Do you think Everton will have been deducted more points than City will?
Yes.
Wow.
I do. We don't got the lawyers, bro.
Nah, y'all ain't got the money. Y'all also pled guilty, which is different. Y'all told him you did it. You said you're just counting it wrong. Same thing Nottingham Forest did. They're like, all right, y'all caught us.
Okay.
City's like, we did nothing.
You know? We are innocent.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. This is a witch hunt.
So shout out. Another happy the reactions. Thank you, Carter. Again, all right. We should.
We're going to do this for Carter? Thank you, Carter.
Let's wrap up here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. At Soccer Cooligans everywhere. Hit the subscribe button here on YouTube. And shout out again to Nicole Baxter for joining us on the show.
Huge.
She absolutely crushed it. And maybe we'll see how much influence she has to try to get. Maybe we can let her know of, like, you know, what players should be, have a more of a light kind of shown on them,
yeah.
In Ultimate Team, because
start texting her some random names of players.
Yeah,
she's like, why are you doing this?
Naomi Girm had a great game again. Like, yeah,
maybe you should blow that up a little bit.
So shout out to Nicole Baxter. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday. The international break is over. A lot of games this weekend, so we'll have a lot to talk about on Monday. We have a great guest coming up on Monday as well that you're going to, especially if you watched Love Undercover on Peacock, you're going to enjoy the guest we have on Monday. So be on the lookout for that. All right. We'll see you Monday, everybody. Peace. Have a good weekend.
Love you guys.